This is Billy Brim Ministries, the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, and I'm Hannah Brim, and I am with Lee Ann Sosby. And how would you describe our friendship relationship?
I would say that it's absolutely wonderful. What am I supposed to say? You are horrible when you served me. But I would describe it as being a wonderful time. I know it was I'm sure it was a wonderful time of training for you. What you probably learned what not to do and what to do. But I believe that it was a wonderful time. You know, every person that God brings across my path to have more of a closer relationship with and mentoring, I've learned that I'm just not doing the mentoring, but I'm learning from that individual as well. And I've just had a wonderful time being with you, Hannah. I believe in you tremendously.
Thank you. I'm glad you do. Hopefully, I'm just kidding. So we were just talking, and I was just remembering just stories with Miss Leanne and or Leanne, and how you taught me the importance. I remember one time going into your office because you asked me to go into your office, and you said, you said, "What have you been meditating on?" And I don't know if I answered you right, but you said, "What is meditation to you?" And you said, "Well, because you talked to me about how important that is and knowing who you are in Christ." And I can remember so many things that the Holy Spirit brings back to my remembrance under prayer school, but you just taught me the importance of that. Meditating, and I still like that's a lifetime thing, mm-hmm. You know, because if you're not thinking about the, you know, something's going to try to bother your mind. So just that's what I can remember, like one of the things that's helped my soul.
Yes,
is like what you're thinking about and putting the word in your mouth, mm-hmm. You know, and that it was different than just confessing, but actually like eating it, like mm-hmm. breaking it apart and eating it.
Yes,
the word. So I just remember that time walking in your office and you're like, what is meditation to you, Hannah? And you're just real serious. And I was like, what's going on?
I wanted to make sure that you got it.
I was so mad at you. I stood up and I wanted to walk out the door and you just kept going. Uh-huh. And I was up at the door wanting to walk out. I don't know if you remember, but.
I do.
So, but I'm thankful, you know?
Yeah. Well, because at that time you were a healing school technician, right? And as a healing school technician here on the campus, we have found that meditation of the word is vital to get into the patients that are coming, so that they just don't hear someone preach the word, but they take hold of it and they're eating it. And I want the healing school the healing school technicians, I want the techs to come in full of the word, meditating the word, so that it's so full on the inside of them that they impart that and give that to the patients that are coming, and then we get the patients to meditate the word. And at that time, you had not been with us that long, and I didn't feel like you fully knew what I was wanting you to do with meditation. And so that's why I called you in and just said, "You tell me what meditation is." And you could tell that you were not real happy with me being so maybe straightforward at that moment, asking you some questions, but you got through it though.
Yeah,
you did.
I just remember that. Uh-huh. So it's good. Those times are good. And I think it's important that I remember you would tell me, you're like, "Don't be a yes man," you know, just having people around you that just, you're good at everything. You know what I mean? Just to be willing to someone to care about you enough to say, "Hey, you know, in a nice way, there's a way to do it."
Yes.
But that care, you know, that means a lot when you tell someone, you know, or like we were talking about accountability and mentoring, just, you know, maybe your attitude isn't right in that area or stuff like that. You know, it's just, I'm thankful.
That's awesome. I do believe that When it comes to having someone serving you, we as leaders don't need to think that we have the upper hand in everything and that we know everything. This generation is a bright generation, and God is doing things through them. And we as leaders that have been in this for a while now, because I've been in the ministry now for over 28 years, and it's hard to believe. I know I still look like I'm 21, but you're supposed to laugh there, Hannah. Huh. And but you know,
30,
there you go. But how important it is for us as leaders to listen to those that are serving us and helping us run the race. And because the mandate and the callings of God that are upon those that are serving us is so vital, and it's important for us to hear what they have in their heart and, you know, and listen to them. I love something that Happy Caldwell has said for years, and I just have just loved it, about how that when you're mentoring, you need to let those that you're mentoring mentor you back.
Wow.
And so that's it's awesome. Important to do that.
Yeah. Another thing that I know we wanted to talk about is just learning from you and something for your ministry or what the Lord has given you and your husband. And that's been a revelation to you. There's a difference from hearing it in your head, but having revelation of it, you know.
Right.
And that's why we always stay teachable. Because there's just so much more, but the John 14:17.
Yeah.
And I know that that's been something that the Lord has shown you, and I know your story about how he showed himself to you, because you weren't raised with the word. You were in Pentecostal, you knew the Spirit, but just the confidence of in the word and who he is in you. And
yeah, I didn't have that. I was definitely raised Pentecostal, so we knew how to dance and shout, and you know, but also in the Pentecostal circle that I grew up in, you know, they felt like you had to tarry to wait to receive the Holy Ghost. And of course, I was so glad that when God dealt with me to come to Rhema, I found out that so much of the teachings about the Holy Spirit that we had was not scriptural. And so I learned so much, but probably about 15 years ago, I was sitting in prayer school, and I had just led the praise and worship, and the guy that was ministering that day was up reading out of John chapter 14, and as he was reading out of John chapter 14, I got stuck on a verse that he read, and it was the verse 17. And at this point, I had been a Rhema graduate. I'd been out and been a youth pastor for about 6 years. Now I had come back, and now I'm serving as a volunteer, and I'm sitting there in the service, and all of a sudden, as I'm sitting there on the front row, I'm reading, the minister's reading out of, like I said, out of John 14, but he got to verse 17. When he got to verse 17, I got stuck on that verse. He kept reading, but I got stuck. And I know it's easy for, I know most of you probably have gotten stuck on a verse before. And I was looking at that verse, and the verse said, the Spirit of truth, the world doesn't see or know, but you know him because he's going to live and dwell on the inside of you. And when I read that verse, the line that stood out to me was, but you know him. Now, Jesus, of course, is talking to us because it's in red and white, you know, and he's telling us that we know him. And that, in other words, we're going to know the Holy Ghost when he comes to the earth, and thank God he's come. But when I read that verse many years ago, I sat there on the front row after here I'm a Rhema grad, been out in the ministry, done everything. And now here I am sitting going, I don't feel like I know you. And I told the Lord, you know, I'm sitting in the service, not talking out loud, but just quietly on the inside. And I'm saying, I don't feel like I know you. If I know you so well, why don't I see the glory cloud when it comes in the room? Because when I was a student years ago, Brother Hagin would be teaching in healing school, and he'd be up there teaching. All of a sudden, he'd stop and he goes, well, the glory of God's coming in the back of the room. And he'd say, man, it's getting so thick now, I can't see half of you sitting back there, you know, in the congregation. And then he goes, it's getting even thicker now. And he goes, now I can't see any of you. And now as a student, I can remember turning around about breaking my neck to see the glory cloud, and I couldn't see it. And it made me so mad. And it was just like, oh, I want to see the glory of God. And then it began to cover Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin said, now the glory's so thick in here, I can't even see my hand in front of my face. And he'd put his hand in front of his face. He goes, I can't even see my hand. And I'd be sitting there on the second row, and thinking, dear God, I can see his hand, his head, his face, and everything, you know? And it's just like, oh, I don't see the glory. Now, this is years later, I'm sitting in prayer school, and I'm like, Lord, I haven't seen your glory. I've been out in the ministry and everything, and I still haven't seen your glory. I don't feel like I know you. If I know you so well, why do I have to wait till someone says the healing anointing is present? And then I'm like, oh, it is. Why can't I know before somebody tells me? You know, why have I made mistakes in my life? And I told the Lord that, and I'm just sitting there in prayer school on the front row while the teaching is still going on. And the Lord said to me, he goes, you're calling me a liar. Well, I'd like to say I have a sweet personality, but I'm sitting there and I'm just like, but I don't feel like I know you. I went right back into it again. I said, I haven't seen the glory. Why do I have to wait for someone to tell me that the healing anointing is present in a service? Why have I made mistakes? If I know you, I don't feel like I know you. And then this time the Lord spoke a little more authoritative to me and he said, you're calling me a liar. And I waited maybe two more seconds. I said, but I don't feel like I know you. And I went through the whole thing all over again. And then he said to me, he goes, Leanne, how did you get saved? This is the Lord asking me, how did you get saved? And when he asked that of me, I was like, are you kidding me? How did I get saved? Duh. I confessed you, you know, John 3:16, as my Lord and my Savior. And then, boom, just like that, it was like a light bulb came on. And I was like, oh, dear God, here I am, a Rhema graduate. I know the word, and it's wonderful and everything, but I've not been confessing or speaking the word over my own relationship in God. I knew how to believe God for healing. I knew how to believe God for finances. But when it comes to your relationship with the Lord, you've got to be in faith about it too.
That's good.
And so I began to change the way I talk. I'll never forget it. That evening after healing, prayer school and healing school that day, I went home. I walked into my bedroom, put my books down, and I stood there and I said, and I spoke out. I said, Holy Ghost, guess what I found out today? I found out that I know you. I would love to say that the window shook or a dove flew by the window or something supernatural took place, but nothing happened. But I knew what the word said, and the word said, Jesus said it in John 14:16, that the Spirit of truth, the world doesn't see or know, but you know him. And so I stood there and I said, I'm so glad that I know you. You're more real to me than anything else in life. You live on the inside of me. I'm so glad that I know you. And that evening, I'll never forget it, I was going to bed. And as I was going to bed, all of a sudden I remembered, wait a minute, I learned something new today. And so I began to speak it again. Holy Spirit, I'm so glad that I know you. You're so real to me. You're more real to me than my family, my friends, the bed that I sleep in, the car that I drive. You're more real to me than anything else in life. And I'm so glad that I know you. And I would love to say that something happened in the natural, but it didn't. But we know what the word says. You speak the word. And when you speak the word, it will manifest in your life, you know, and so, you know, so I just continued to speak the word, declare the word. And for 2 weeks, I kept speaking it. And declaring it, and things begin to happen. And you know how easy it is for us to desire spiritual truth and to grow in God, but we've got to use our faith in it. Yeah. And if we don't use our faith, then we're going to stay right where we're at. You know, I used to look at Brother Hagin and say, how wonderful it is, you know, his walk in God. I've looked at Pastor Hagin. Oh, their walk in God. Wow, it's amazing. I've looked at your grandmother and thought, oh, to be like Miss Billy Brim, how awesome it would be. You know, look, you know, and yes, we need to honor the gifts, but we also need to recognize that we have the same Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of us.
That's awesome. And if you haven't been listening, go on to www.billybrim.org. And we're so thankful, and stay tuned for tomorrow. Shalom.